the second novel can be a daunting task for writers because it's their chance to cement their writing career. Do you write something similar to the first one, or do you go out on a limb? Australian writer Lucy Treloar's award-winning debut novel, Salt Creek, was a historical novel set in colonial South Australia. But her second novel, Wolf Island, is a dystopian novel set in near-future America. It's about a fiercely independent artist, Kitty Hawke, whose home is disappearing underwater. Lucy Treloar joins me in the studio. Welcome, Lucy.
Thanks so much. Hello.
Lucy, did you have second novel jitters?
I certainly did. Quite quickly. When I first came across the idea for this novel, which was a photograph of an island just stranded in the middle of a sea, I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's my next book. Oh, what am I going to do about that? I'm in so much trouble. And I really wasn't sure how to manage it. And I kept on having these terrible second thoughts, misgivings all the way through, thinking of the people who had contacted me saying, oh, I love your book. I hope your next book's going to be just the same. And I would think, dear, it's just not. I'm really sorry.
Well, it does seem like a big shift going from writing historical fiction set in South Australia to this dystopian novel set on the east coast of America. Mm. What led you to sort of just take it away from that first novel?
Well, I was kind of bitten by this photograph, and I just thought that was inevitable. There was no kind of escaping that would be the next book. But I was also thinking that if I wrote another historical novel, I would be locked into that. It would be very hard for me to escape that, that as a kind of shape of my writing life. And and I was very keen to explore a new world and new ways of thinking, new ideas, and maybe doing more historical would have felt a little bit like repeating myself, and I was pretty anxious not to do that.
Although I wonder if both writing projects involve a similar leap of imagination. William Gibson, the author of the 1984 classic Neuromancer, says that writing historical fiction is akin to speculative fiction because it's also a world you don't know.
Yeah, I think that's very true, and I certainly found a lot of things that, when I was exploring that world and coming across things that were written and feeling the gaps in the kind of framework of what was available to me, I would think, no one can tell me this didn't happen. I'm pretty sure something like that could have happened. Can I persuade a reader that this would have happened? And in that way, it is similar. But there are these kind of exact timelines that you're locked into with history, and you're not locked into if you're writing a little way into the future. And that certainly, I thought it would be incredibly freeing, but it is a kind of the rapture of the deep in a way. It's quite frightening as well. You just think, oh, I don't know where the framework is. Yeah.
So Wolf Island doesn't exist on a map, does it?
Not a Wolf Island in this
area.
Well,
there is a Wolf Island in Ontario Lake, I saw.
Yeah.
But in your novel, it's in Chesapeake Bay, which
That's
is an
right.
estuary between Maryland and Virginia.
Yeah.
Is this a place that you have a connection to?
No, I don't. Well, I do now because I visited it a couple of times and really loved it and met people there who I maintain contact with. But I didn't have any connection at all, only that I seem to have a great emotional connection with watery places. And
yes, Salt Creek, Wolf Island, surrounded by water.
Yeah, and water is just a wonderful metaphor for a lot of things, although I'm not thinking about that when I'm writing. So no connection at all. But I think there are great similarities between the world that I saw in America and the world that we live in here in Australia, and a whole lot of things I noticed in America that when I came back I thought, we're doing the same thing. We're trashing this country. We're ruining it. I could see so many kind of parallel things in it.
Well, some of those parallels we'll discuss now. So Kitty Hawke is the last occupant of Wolf Island. She's an artist, as I mentioned. She uses found objects to make sculptures. She's a loner and she's happy in the company of her wolf dog. But then her granddaughter, Kat, comes to visit and she's joined by three other people who are runners. What are they running from?
They're running from a crumbling world order that regards them as outside what is desirable in the society. And loosely, they're based on the way that migrants are treated in the United States now. And it's kind of pushing that idea of them being pursued by ICE agents, the immigration agents that they have there, and of that being amped up to a greater degree.
Mm. You never make this completely explicit, though. It's like you want us to join the dots and connect to the current political climate.
That's right. But I also didn't want the world of Trump to be coming in and kind of taking over the world of this book. So I wanted
to keep
him
at a distance. Yeah, so Trump is not mentioned, but even America is not mentioned.
Yeah, and I think for me, the book operates slightly on a mythical, fable-like level. So I wanted it to have a slightly theatrical feeling, something that felt universal, even though it is set in America, so that we could draw the parallels with Australia.
And I guess also at its heart, Wolf Island is as much about how place shaped Kitty and what family means to her, because in fact, she sort of walked away from her family, from her daughter and son when they were teenagers, and chose a life on Wolf Island. This isn't sort of something that is condoned of women, is it?
No, it's not. And when I realised that Kitty was going to abandon her children when I was writing, I sat there for a whole morning thinking, I've got to find some way around this. She can't be that abandoning mother. And then I just thought, she's going to do it. She really is. And I tried to explain why she was doing that, her reasoning for it. But I think a little bit of that was based on my own experience of creation, of that feeling of kind of disappearing, that determination, the stubbornness that you have when you're writing. So to do that act of creation, even if it means removing yourself a little bit from family life.
Yeah. Because you as a writer have to have that space for yourself to be able to come up with a novel that works on many levels.
Yes, I fortunately don't need an island for it. I just have a writing studio. But it's really important for me to have that quiet and solitude.
A room of your own.
Yes.
So Kitty is used to being alone, and she intimates at the beginning, so I'm not giving anything away here, that she's become a murderer in the name of protecting these young people on the run, which once again is not a common role for women in fiction, this woman as protector or grandmother as warrior. You're bending our expectations.
I sort of was aware of that while I was doing it, but I think women are incredibly fierce and, you know, ferocious really in protecting the people that they love. But I was also looking at refiguring the idea of a Western and of her as a sort of cowboy or knight of old who is acting according to her idea of justice, if not the law, to protect the people that she loves. And, Westerns are so much about the decline of frontiers, the declines of societies. So in this book, I was looking as much at political disintegration, geographical disintegration, social disintegration, and the kind of effects of the climate on all of this interconnected world, and her as part of that. How is she going to react to save people?
Yes, I have to admit, I had in mind that this was like a female version of Cormac McCarthy's dystopian novel, The Row, just without the cannibalism.
Yeah.
Now, even Kitty's dog is female, so you are exploring the strength of women. Girl is a wolf dog, which aren't meant to be kept as pets, and there's rules against that, and people are rightfully wary of them. Why a wolf dog as Kitty's companion?
I think that wolves, they're emblematic of a lot of things, and they have a kind of fierceness.
The wild,
yes.
But
of a kind of, and with a hybrid wolf dog, there is the feeling of the wildness of Kitty. Girl is in some ways emblematic of Kitty, and they have this great connection with this shared comfort with their own company and determination to be themselves. So the wolf dog idea arrived pretty early, even though I'm very critical of that whole idea of having wolf dogs. I just thought I'll deal with the aftermath when it happens.
And so have you met wolf dogs?
I haven't, but I have looked at an awful lot of YouTube clips. There's
so
a massive
give us some
amount
background
of material
about what a wolf dog is.
Well, a wolf dog is a dog that is just an interbreeding of a canine, a normal, you know, a domestic canine that we would all live with, and an actual wolf. And they can be of varying degrees of, you know, they can be like 25% wolf and 75% dog, or, all sorts of things. But they're extremely unstable. They're at constant kind of war with between their doggy and wolfish instincts. So they're really unsuited to being pets. But in my mind, this wolf dog is the result of centuries of breeding of wolf dogs on this island that Kitty lives on. And so she's not unstable around Kitty, but she is quite fierce.
Yes, I'd certainly want her protecting me.
Yeah.
And so Girl is the wolf dog who's protector of Wolf Island.
Yeah.
No accident there. So Wolf Dog lives on Wolf Island. There's references to a wolf song and wolf light as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that also fitted in with the mythical framework of the book that I was interested in exploring. That, you know, wolves recur through mythical, all through our myths, Romulus and Remus.
And the founding story of Rome.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a book about the new frontiers that we're all exploring, that we're all having to navigate as the world changes, and it's in this state of acute flux. So it seemed an appropriate metaphor to me. Yeah.
Lucy Treloar, I think of Wolf Island as being a climate change novel. The sea levels are rising, and it creates this uncertainty more broadly, along with the elements of unrest around immigration. Do you think of it as a climate change novel?
It's not for me, only in the sense that all modern novels that are set now or slightly in the future or further into the future must acknowledge that that is part of the world that we live in. But I'm interested broadly in the political framework that has led to that, and to a general disintegration, to all of those things working together to create that feeling of instability, and to create that age of transience that some people say we're living in.
Well, I was interested also, given that you say that you saw parallels between the political climate in America and parallels with Australia, why you then did set it in America?
It's the photograph. Yeah,
so it had to be there.
I explored various settings in Australia. I couldn't find a place where the islands were disintegrating in the same way. There's islands off Tasmania, but they tend to be very rocky, and I needed something that was dissolving, a dissolving world, and that idea was extremely important to me. And once you've seen that thing, fidelity to that seems incredibly important for you to inhabit that world of imagination and go out and create a world with dimension. It was incredibly important to me. I did try.
I mean, writers can write about anywhere. You've got that imaginative freedom. So I think it's interesting that I sort of expect an Australian author to write about Australia. That's a limitation, isn't it?
It is in a way, and I don't really see why we should. I mean, I sort of understand that it limits, it might limit the audience in some ways. But I hope people can see the parallels between Australia and the United States. And I just think, it's a huge world. People explore other worlds in historical fiction, but it is a little bit harder to do in contemporary fiction. But I always welcome it when I see an Australian author who's looking at another country, exploring their ways of thinking, there being some kind of discourse between otherness and Australia. I wanted to be part of that.
Well, good on you, Lucy Treloar. It's been very good to meet you and good to inhabit the world of Kitty Hawk. I'd want her by my side if ever I was in trouble. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Wolf Island is published by Picador. It's out this week, fresh off the press for you.